Heavenly Father, we just want to ask, Lord, continue to declare our dependence on you as we open your word. Lord, we ask that you would show us wonderful things, as the psalmist says, God. Open our eyes, the eyes of our heart, to see wonderful things from your word. So we do just want to ask that very simple prayer, Lord. You would reveal more of who you are and the life for us that you invite us into. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So we are in a series right now having to do with faith like a little child. Very famous teaching of Jesus. And we are in Matthew chapter 11 to start with. You can turn in your Bibles there. If you don't have a Bible, it'll pop up on the screen there for you. And I do encourage you to bring one, have your lift notes ready. The lift notes are those little things you can get on the way in the door to take some notes and continue to feed on God's word and who God is throughout the week. So this very famous passage Jesus teaches about being a little child, one of many. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30 says, "At this time Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things about God's kingdom from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what you were pleased to do.'" Made God happy to reveal things to those like little children. "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Absolutely fascinating passage in so many different ways, and we've been unpacking it for a few weeks. But first and foremost, the thing that sticks out about being a little child before God is that Jesus, in this particular passage, paints himself as the model for what he's talking about when he says, "Have faith like a little child." He draws a contrast. Those who are wise and learned, those, in other words, it's a little bit, I don't know if sarcastic is the right word, are ironic. Those who think themselves wise and learned, they think that they've got it going on, they think they don't need help, they think they've got it all together, they can do it on their own. And the fruit of that, Jesus says, is you will be weary and you will carry heavy burdens. In contrast, he says, he points to his own heart, his own life. He says, "Take my yoke, learn from me. I am what? Humble. I am gentle in my heart. I'm humble towards the Father." That is a direct contrast from wise and learned. You think you got it all together, or you're like a dependent little child that says, "I'm humble in my heart before the Lord." And the fruit of it is a light and easy yoke. And so Jesus is painting himself as the picture. He says, "Learn from me. Learn from me to be that dependent little child with the Father." And then he says that crazy thing. Just think about that. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Think about Jesus' life. And would you say, looking at his life compared to other lives, "Oh man, Jesus had it easy. That guy didn't have a lot to go through." The opposite. That guy had more pressures, more responsibilities, more persecutions, more things on his plate than I would say any human ever known. Yet he's able to walk through life. And he battled it at times. And we see the Garden of Gethsemane is probably the best picture into that battle, where there's times where he needed to say, "God, take this cup from me. Wow. But not my will, but yours be done." He battled it, but most of his life he lived, as he said right here, in a light and easy burden, that the pressures didn't weigh on him and knock him out. It wasn't heavy. That's amazing with what Jesus faced to say, "Learn from me. Because I walk with a soul at rest and a light and easy yoke." And his encouragement is, if I can do it, you can do it. Learn from me. If I can do it and all the pressures that I face, you can do it. If you learn from me and be humble before God, dependent like a little child. So I'm going to ask that question. We got to get it front and center. To know that this is an invitation. How many of you find it attractive to potentially live life with a light and easy yoke? Is that in any way like, oh, I got that covered. Done. No, come on. That is one of the most inviting, attractive promises, I think, in all of Scripture. Because, man, we are a weary people. We are a heavy-laden people. We are a burdened, stressed, anxious people. And Jesus said, no, come. I want to show you, teach you how to learn with a soul at rest. That regardless of the pressures you face, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And so we looked last week at what is the secret to that. Quick review, and then we're going to get onto that second piece of it. Because there's really two things that I believe Jesus models in his life that is the secret to his source of rest and a light, easy yoke. And we saw last week, very simple, that he abided in his Father's love. That word abide means to dwell. He lived in it. That famous teaching of the vine and the branches where he says, hey, I'm the vine, you're the branch. In that teaching, we saw last week, he is describing that relationship, inviting us into it, and that's the same exact relationship he has with the Father. It's amazing. And he says, I want you to have my joy because I abide in the Father's love. And I want the joy that I have, I want you to have by abiding in my love like I abide in the Father's love. And he showed us this amazing reality that he lives in constantly, every moment in this loving gaze from heaven as his source of joy. As at his baptism, it said that Jesus saw into heaven and the Father pronounced, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. And he lived in the gaze of heaven on a moment-by-moment basis. He dwelled there. And he says, this is what happens if you don't dwell there. That last week was this beautiful flower. I ripped it off, gave our interior decorator a heart attack. Everyone, you know, practice forgiveness. That's crazy. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Right here. That's his secret. He says, apart from the Father, I can do nothing. He's saying in his humanity, if he were to get away from the Father's love and abiding in the Father's presence, even Jesus would do this. That's amazing. That's his secret. He abides in the Father's love. He dwells in the Father's love. He stays connected to the source, the life source of everything, which is the Father's love all the time. It's his identity. It's his source. It's his strength. Keeps his soul at rest, makes it so he's not living for everyone else's approval and everyone else's pressure and everyone else's demands. It's his source. And so today we want to look at that second piece of that. How do we continue in our life to put this into practice? And I want to take us back to a verse, John 5:19, that's been so much important about this whole message. Jesus says this, Very truly I tell you, the Son, just amazing words, Jesus is saying about himself, I can do nothing by myself. The Son can do nothing by himself. Wow. The Son will turn into this by himself. Wow. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So this passage right here actually has both aspects of how he walks with the light and easy yoke. That first part is that he can do nothing by himself. He has that dependent relationship with the Father, like a branch on the vine, where he abides in his Father's love, that loving gaze of heaven, as his source of life, his source of joy, of strength, of peace. And secondly, and here's where we're going today, he has a light and easy yoke because right there in this verse it says he only does what he sees the Father doing. Think about your life. Can you learn from Jesus and say, I only do what I see the Father doing? How many of you have got some growth in that area? to learn from Jesus and say, I'm only going to do what the Father's doing. For some of you, like, say, what does that even look like? Amen. Learn from Jesus. That's why we're here. And for others, it's like, yeah, I know that, but oh man, it's a battle, it's a pressure, and it's hard. Amen. Let's continue. That's the discipleship journey. We're on a journey. Be disciples. Learn. We're learners. That's what disciple means. We want to continue to learn. What does it look like to do better and better, only do in my life what the Father is doing? Another way to put it, he stewarded his time with abiding in the Father's presence as his priority. He had a schedule like all of us. He had things to do like all of us. He had time to invest like all of us. Time is the most, or one of the most precious resources God ever gifted you to steward. Jesus was given the same gift. And what we see is abiding in the Father's presence is the priority. If there's a backdrop to his schedule, we're going to see it's remain abiding in the Father's love. So let's move on here. See an example of this in Luke 5. See how he walks this out in his life. It's pretty, I think, shocking. Luke 5, verses 15 and 16. It says, the news about Jesus spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. So they came to hear him and be healed. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Do you catch the juxtaposition, the opposites, the contrast in that verse? It's very intentional by Luke. Let's paint the picture a little bit. Let's paint the scene so you can catch what Luke is doing by, in that same thought, having such contrary work that Jesus does. News is spreading all the more. It says crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sickness. So imagine this. Jesus is rolling into a town like he does. But news is spreading about him. So before Jesus even gets there, there's buzz about this guy, Jesus. Like we saw with the woman who was healed. She had heard about Jesus, so she went out and touched his garment. And she was healed of this issue of blood she had for 12 years. So rumor spreads, even back then. It's amazing. Rumors spread about Jesus, good ones, that, wow, this guy can heal. So there's buzz, there's excitement, there's anticipation, probably especially among the sick and the broken because they've heard that Jesus restores body, mind, spirit. So when Jesus arrives, as he often did, he makes his way into a friendly home and he has a meal, blesses the home, and then he starts to teach. And people say, oh my gosh, this guy's got authority that none of our people have. These are our religious, our pastors are wacko. But this guy, he's awesome. He's got authority. So people start gathering. And so pretty soon the house is packed. And there's, you know, people sitting in the windows, standing room only. They're up on the loft. They're just all around the floor. And then Jesus, he heals a lame man. And then a blind woman. And then he casts a demon out of a prostitute. And whoa, suddenly it's like, wow, what is going on? And the buzz continues to go. And people come from all around to the point there's a line out the door around. They're trying to just, now just from earshot, can I just get my ear close to the window and hear this guy, Jesus, can I see his face? Line out the door around the whole house. And man, people are just ready. They're getting excited. It's like, woohoo, we are ready for an all-night session of hearing God's goodness and being healed. And man, God, the heaven is coming to earth. And right in that midst, Luke says, Jesus stands up quietly and says, it's been a blessing, guys, to be here. I have to go now. And he walks out the back door so he can go be alone with his father in the Olive Garden and pray. You don't believe me? News about him spread all the more. Crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. But it's a contrast. It's meant to be like, whoa! That's like a juxtaposition, like just kind of shock you. It doesn't read how it's supposed to. Huge crowds gather everywhere Jesus went. In the face of huge crowds and all these wonderful things we expect to read. And Jesus stayed up all night and he sees those ministry opportunities and whoever had needs met, he met them. But he withdrew to a lonely place and pray. What is Mark doing? Or excuse me, what is Luke doing? In the face of a huge crowd, huge opportunities, huge demand, Luke paints this picture that Jesus just left. Wow, I remember the first time I read this, I was like, what? I'm offended, Jesus. I don't know if you're allowed to do that. I don't really think so. You're here to do ministry, right? There's ministry needs right in front of you. Isn't that what you're here for on earth? Jesus, I don't know if you have an effective evangelism strategy. Aren't you here to share the good news of the kingdom and demonstrate the power of the kingdom so people believe in you? Remember, you are the Savior, so save people. People have needs. You're going to walk away? What is he doing? I believe, as always, Jesus is modeling for us, disciples, followers, what life is supposed to look like in relationship with the Father. Modeling the fullness of what a human relationship with God is meant to be. This is not just, I am 100%, this is not for just people who are in quote-unquote full-time ministry. Jesus is modeling here life. He's modeling priorities. Because whether you are in full-time ministry or not, all of us in our world, in our culture, we always have more good opportunities to spend our time in and pressure to do more, to fill up the schedule, even with good things. And these two verses are meant to be this stark contrast that shows that Jesus' schedule, his time, was not dictated by the needs of people or the demands of culture, but he stewarded his time with abiding in the Father as his priority and only doing what he saw the Father doing. He demonstrated for us, if we want to have a light and easy yoke, we have to learn to say no, even to good things. Jesus was really good at saying no. There was times, as Luke is painting this picture, it doesn't matter if there's 1,000 people waiting to be healed. If the Father's doing something else, Jesus will walk away. He'll say no, because he only wants to do what the Father's doing in order to remain abiding in the Father's love and in his presence. That is, wow. Oftentimes, we walk through life weary and heavy laden. Simply, it could be out of great motivation. We might just be doing too many good things, but they may not be what the Father's doing. Too much of even a good thing can keep you from abiding. Jesus knew when to say no, even to a good thing, by listening, what is the Father doing? Another way to say it, Jesus had permission from the Father to say no to good things because abiding in the Father's love is his priority. It's the life source from which all good fruit is going to happen. You know what Jesus said? Apart from me, I can do nothing. So if he's going to step outside of his Father's love and outside of what the Father's doing, then he's like, well, this is what's going to happen. You don't want to see me if I step outside of that. You want to see me when I'm going to be flowing with heavenly power. I got to stay abiding in the Father's love and doing what the Father's doing. This is like, do you have permission in your life to say no to good things and to bad things in order to abide and do what the Father's doing? Abiding is the priority. If you have a schedule, which we all do, is abiding in the Father's presence and doing what the Father's doing your priority of how you set your schedule so you could do it like Jesus did in the power of the Spirit and bear good fruit? How many of you have felt like you are spinning your wheels and you are striving and you are trying so hard and you are working so hard and you're working so many hours and where's the fruit? I've done that. And then the Lord, in his gentleness, hit me like a 2x4 and said, yeah, I'm not doing that. You're doing it. The Father's not doing it. You're doing it for your own various not perfect reasons. Oh, wow. What would it be like to abide in you, rest, have my soul at rest, and then do what you do and live in your power? Ooh, that is so much more fun, so much more effective. But we are not just talking about ministry. Please make sure you got that clear. This is about life. This is about, as Jesus said, apart from the Father, I don't bear any good fruit. How much more us, apart from him? We won't bear good fruit. If you want your life to bear good fruit, we've got to abide, stay in him, and do what he's doing so that our life bears good fruit wherever we're at. And that gets down to the very nitty-gritty of life. And it may mean turn off the game to go serve your wife and do dishes. It may mean turn on the game to bond with your boys. It may mean close the computer and get on the floor with your son. It may mean say yes to this ministry opportunity. It may mean say no to this ministry opportunity. It may mean say yes to the opportunity to make more money. It may mean say no to the opportunity to make more money. It may say yes to this promotion so you can exercise your gifts and passions, be a person of influence. It may say no to this promotion because God's got something different over here where he's teaching you a different, and you're in a different season of life. It's not a formula. It's what's the Father doing? And that's what Jesus is modeling. It's powerful. So back to the passage. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And that, if there's anything in this message, can you memorize that? Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed, and take it into your own life and say, do I often withdraw by myself to be with God? That is abiding in a nutshell. It can look like a thousand different things because of how we're each uniquely wired. Some can paint in God's presence. Some, it's just quiet solitude. So you're in the Word. You're in prayer. You're listening to music. You're out in nature. There's a million and one different ways. But does my life say, I often withdraw to be alone with God? Notice here, Jesus, in this idea of abiding, didn't just abide one time and then go out and for the rest of his life bear fruit. Though he dwelled in and he lived in that loving gaze of heaven as his source, as his foundation, as his identity, as his joy, that looked like taking intentional times away from everything just to soak in that love and be focused on it and undisturbed. Jesus often withdrew, that means pulled away, to be alone, to pray, to be in God's presence, to talk with God. Prayer, don't get intimidated, is talking with God. That is intentional. It's focused. Why? It's abiding. It's a relationship. As relational beings, we are made for different kinds of rhythms of being together with someone we're in relationship with. But one of those ways Jesus demonstrates is there has to be focused alone time where we can connect at a deep level that only happens when we're alone. And that becomes the foundation, the source that then we're still with God throughout all our days, but we've connected deeply. I mean, just think about it this. What if my wife were to come to me and say, you know, honey, I'd really like to go on a date with you. I really feel like we need some alone time. We need to connect, just you and me. We need to just connect deeply. I'm like, baby, I already went on a date with you. I mean, and I even wrote you a poem and a card once. I mean, back when we got engaged. I mean, don't be so needy. We've already done that. Or you know what? Hey, yeah, babe, you want to connect? Hey, I'm watching the game on Tuesday night with the guys. Why don't you sit next to me on the couch? All right, both of those were strikeouts. I tried, you know. Once, only once. No. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we are made as relational beings to connect on a deep level. You got to get alone. It's pretty simple. If you're not getting alone with God, you're probably not connecting on a deep level. That's what Jesus models. I mean, this is great. It's cool. But honestly, my understanding of church on a Sunday morning is a coming together to celebrate what God has been doing throughout the week. That's why we worship. We come together to be in God's presence and celebrate what God's done in your life throughout the week as you've gotten alone with him. And yes, there's teaching and there's building up, and that's part of it. But Jesus models often getting alone to be with God. He's modeling a permission to learn how to live with abiding alone with God as our priority, so that in our life, The things that we do aren't out of that place of striving. Man, I've been there. It stinks. Striving. Heavy burdens. I'm trying to make this happen on my own strength. Talking with guys in Ignite last week or yesterday with a small group, sometimes it's like, you know, I would characterize the last couple years of my life as I'm riding God's wave, and I just don't want to fall off. It's God's strength. It's God's power. I can feel it. It feels different. I used to be out there in the ocean, like, trying to make my own wave. I'm on my surfboard, and I'm trying to, like, come on, wave, go, go, go. That is tiring. That's a burden you feel quickly. There's a difference. God's saying, let me be the source. Let it be my power, my strength, and you just get the joy of riding along. And that's so different. Those are very different ways of life. And Jesus is saying, if you feel weary and heavy laden, probably not abiding as much as you need to be. So come, abide, so that your joy can be full. You can be living at a place of rest with a light and easy yoke. And this is also where we bear fruit. If we want to do important things, which we all should, and we want to have productive lives, we're made to produce. I'm not in any way saying be lazy and don't do good things. I mean, Jesus said in the garden, be fruitful and multiply, and that's just not talking about having babies. That's talking about we are made to be productive, to produce good things. We're made to fill the earth, it says. With what? Fruit of our lives. Our lives are meant to leave a legacy, leave a wake, produce good stuff. But, as Jesus says in John 5, whoever abides in me and I in him, it's he that bears good fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Wow. If I'm not abiding in him, expect no lasting kingdom fruit. And sure, I could do stuff, but we're talking about the stuff that brings heaven to earth. We're talking about the stuff that engages with what God's doing, with that transforms our life and those around us. That's the kind of fruit I want. I will have none of it. None, it says, without abiding. So there's something about learning to abide that is the foundation of everything fruitful, lasting for his kingdom. But it's so different. Because the world says you will produce by striving. And Jesus says in the kingdom you will produce by abiding, resting in God's presence, dwelling and remaining in God's love in a relationship with him. And out of that, your life will become incredibly fruit-filled. Dang, this is a good message, Jesus! You are awesome, Jesus. I want some more, Jesus. I'm getting excited. You know God's working when I get excited about my own message. Like, I'm feeling like, okay, Jesus, you're good. So, how do we discern what's the Father doing? That's intimidating sometimes, right? Oh, what is the Father doing? I only want to do what the Father's doing. I have no idea what the Father's doing. I can't hear the Father. Like, some people feel like you got a phone, like, direct line, and I like, the dial tone, like, hello. That's a long process. But let me simplify for today. I do think that God does want to grow us in ways where he speaks in what feels like more of a direct way. And that's awesome. That's cool. But at the same time, I don't think we need to be intimidated that, like, man, wow, it's so clear, it's so awesome. It's like I'm walking down the road and there's just like this, the heavens open and there's this like blazing, blinking light with an arrow, like, do this. And you're like, oh, cool, I got it. And if I don't have that, then God's not talking to me. No. I do believe he wants to grow each of us in hearing his voice in a direct way. But what we see from Jesus is also that he, God, calls us to be good stewards with what he's given us according to kingdom values, and those values will help us discern what God is doing. And the number one kingdom value in discerning what God is doing when you're looking at your schedule is, do I have time to abide? Do I have time to abide? Because Jesus always had time to abide. And I don't want to be offensive, but he had more important things to do than you did. and me. If Jesus had time to abide, so do I. I don't have a more important schedule than the Savior of the world. So if we're trying to discern what God's doing with our time, we can always ask first, do I have time to abide? That's what the Father's doing. And if I don't, and I've been there, and I step out, oh, I'm not doing what the Father's doing anymore. I can know that. And this is a constant, this is an ongoing exercise. It's a long process of learning how to do this well, learning how to say no to good things at times, and yes to good things at other times. It's very, very practical. It's about getting in and going through stewarding your time, even down to the practical. I mean, I would say, I want to give you a practical walk away. It's in your lift notes. If you don't have one, you can pick one up on the info table on the way out. A powerful exercise. I do this with my wife regularly to go. If you're not married, you do it by yourself, or if you live with roommates or whatever your situation is, do it with people in your closest community. Go through your calendar, steward your time with this lens. Do I or we have time to abide alone with God on a daily, weekly, monthly, seasonal basis? Because there's different things, there's different rhythms. And don't beat yourself up. I'm going to just say, build in daily time, but it's just don't. This is not a legalistic. If you don't get alone with God every day, I don't get alone with God every day in this time that I'm talking about. And don't beat yourself up with guilt. You build it in, but we miss. That's okay. But on a regular basis, get some alone time with God. If it starts with 5 minutes, if it starts with 15 minutes, if you have time to turn on the TV, you have time to be alone with God. 15 minutes a day, something like that. And then there's the weekly. God talks about a Sabbath. That's for a reason. It's not an option. It's a command. It's a gift, though, to you, to rest for a whole day, just to enjoy, to have fun, to play, to be in God's presence. There's monthly stuff, seasonal stuff. It changes all the time. As your seasons of life change, responsibilities in different areas may change. Your kids, as they grow older, it changes. What you're able to do when your kid's 1 year old is very different from what your schedule's going to look like when your kids are 15 years old. So you have to, I mean, I'll just give a super practical example. In this last spring, it killed me, but we said no to flag football in our family. We love flag football. I love it more than them. So they're bigger, stronger, and faster than I ever was, so I'm like living vicariously through my kids. But, side note, I love flag football. It's so much fun. I've coached KJ three or four times now. Daniel played my six-year-old for the first time last year, coached him. It is so much fun. They talk about it all year. And we got to spring, and we looked at our schedule, and we just said, no. As much as I love it, as much as they love it, as much as we look forward to it, the 4 days a week that this would take us away from abiding, both on our family Sabbath. I mean, what I would say that can be included at times in the right measure. And from just the nights of the week, with the other things we got going on, we would be way overextended and not abide. So I said no to one of my favorite things, and I value that. I believe it's in the right proportion. It's so healthy. I'm bonding with my sons. I mean, I've coached them three or four times. They love it to be in their life like that. It's a special thing that I believe, at the right time, God is doing, and it was super healthy, super bringing God's kingdom into my house, into my life, into my home, into my kids, showing the love, the presence of the Father in their life. Beautiful things happen. But for this season, it was no. It's a good thing, very good thing. I get to be out in the community. I get to build relationships. Some people have come to church through being coached. I could justify all day long why it's a good thing. But if I had done it in this spring, I'd be stepping outside of what God was doing. And my wife would be really ticked. So that's usually a good barometer, by the way, men. There's the Holy Spirit and your wife, and I think they're the same thing. No, it's... But Jesus, I'm just getting super practical. Because I believe it's, like I said, how you steward your time is one of the biggest acts of worship, opportunities to worship God by putting him as the priority in your life. And abiding is the priority for Jesus. To stay in what the Father's doing so that his life bears good fruit that the world wants to eat. And I want to be like that too. And I know you want to be like that. So this is where we can learn from Jesus. He had a light and an easy yoke. His soul was at rest. Why? Because he lived in the gaze, the loving gaze of his Father. And he was really good at saying no. And you put those two things together, steward your time, and I guarantee your life will be vastly different. The weariness, the heavy burdens will lift, 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 lift. As you live in his presence, as you abide in his love, you say no to some things to pare down that I just want to walk with you and I'll let you produce the fruit, different times, different seasons. Thank you, Jesus. You with me? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your, as I got excited in the middle of this, what an invitation, Lord. I hate being weary and heavy laden, heavy burden. That stinks. Thank you that you invite us into such a better way. And I pray, Lord, that you would help all of us, whatever place on the journey we are, help each of us to take that next step towards a deeper life of abiding in your presence and only doing what you are doing. So that, Lord, our souls can be at rest. We can have a light and easy yoke, and we can produce powerful fruit for your kingdom, Lord. Make us into this people. Help us, Lord. We can't do it on our own. Oh, man, we have so much coming against us that just is the opposite of this. Help us, God. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just be so strong in each of us to help us discern what it is that you're doing. Help us get creative, Lord. Creative in the ways in which we build in that abide time. Like a romance, Lord. You are beckoning us, romancing us, saying, just steal away with me for 15 minutes. Just be with me. Be alone. Or help us to learn how to do this like you, Jesus, that we may walk with a light and easy yoke and bear much good fruit to the Father's glory. I pray that blessing over this church family in the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people who were hungry for this and had open hearts said, amen. Amen.
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at We Are Elevation and on Facebook, facebook.com/WeAreElevation.